The Lord be with you.
And
also with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbiter?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Well, we have some difficult readings to deal with today, but I want to start with the Gospel, because we have a warning against greed here today. And our Lord gives us this parable of this farmer, presumably, who has such a great harvest. God has blessed him so much in perhaps being a good farmer or whatever, but he has such a good harvest, and he has too much for himself to store. And he wonders, "What should I do?" And of course, the correct answer is, well, you should hold on to what you need for yourself and your family, but then you should give away the rest. But what does he do? He says, "I know, I'll tear down my current barns because they can't hold all that I have. I'll build new ones, bigger ones, and I'll hold on to all of this stuff so that I'll be good to go for many, many years, so that I won't have to worry, so that I can relax and, as it says, eat, drink, and be merry." And at the end of the parable, God says to this guy, "You know, you fool, you fool." And we think, well, this guy's kind of being wise, isn't he? Isn't this wisdom in the ways of this world? Store up this stuff so that you don't have to worry in the future? But God calls him a fool. And God says, because tonight your life will be demanded of you, and what will you have to say for yourself? What real treasure will you have? You know, our Lord tells us elsewhere in the Gospel, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Treasure here on earth, this is all passing. This whole world is passing. But I want to talk about perhaps the underlying motive for this guy, and perhaps for some of us, and I know myself at times. But this guy has this idea, and who can blame him in his society, just as in our own, which constantly tells us this is what you need to be happy and to be fulfilled. As much material things as you can get. Whoever dies with the most toys wins, right? As many possessions as you can get. The newest, the biggest, the best, the brightest. The most amount of money in the bank. The newest car. The prettiest spouse. And when that doesn't work out, get another one. Right? I mean, isn't this what society tells us? Isn't this what society is constantly bombarding us with? That these things are what we truly need to be happy. Right? I mean, that's what society tells us. And society, certainly in our Lord's time, was telling them this as well, all the more to us now. And, you know, these things are not bad. The things of this world are not evil. They're not bad in and of themselves. But we need to possess our possessions and not let them possess us, right? We need to use them insofar as they are good, insofar as they help us get to the kingdom of heaven. And we need to reject them insofar as they pull us away from that. But let me tell you something. We need to remind ourselves sometimes of what really is going to make us happy, what is really going to fulfill us. And sometimes, I would submit to you, we need to kind of walk through it logically. I know I have to do this sometimes too, but let me do this with all of you this morning, right? This is step one, right? God made us, right? And because God made us, He knows us better than we know ourselves, right? That seems clear enough. God made us, and so He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us better than our parents know us. He knows us better than our spouses, our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters, our dearest friends. He knows us better than any of them, and better than even we know ourselves, because He's God and because He made us, right? So I think we can all assent to that, right? So that's step one. Step two, God loves us unconditionally. God loves us more than anyone else on this earth, more than our mother, our father, our spouses, our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters. And sometimes that's also hard to wrap our head around. You know, parents, think about how much you love your children. Well, guess what? God loves them even more. God loves unconditionally. God loves with a divine love. God loves with the type of love to which He calls us to have for other people, but we're still human and we're still going to fall short sometimes. But that's step two, right? God loves us more than anyone else. Now, when you put these two things together, that God knows us better than anyone else, better than even we know ourselves, and that God loves us unconditionally more than anyone else, when you put these two things together, something happens. We realize, and again, sometimes we have to remind ourselves of these two things, but when we put them together, we realize that what this means is that God is only ever going to call us to do He's only ever going to ask us to do that which He knows is going to make us happy and fulfilled. Because if God knows us better than we know ourselves, He knows what's going to make us happy better than what we think might make us happy. He knows what's going to make us fulfilled better than what we think might make us fulfilled. And because He loves us, I mean, it'd be one thing if God hated us. That would be kind of a dangerous combination, because if he knew what would make us happy and fulfilled, but then He didn't love us, well, maybe He would ask us to do things that He knew are not going to fulfill us. But our God loves us unconditionally. And so He's only ever going to call us to do that which He already knows is going to make us truly happy, truly fulfilled. Because He knows what's going to make us happy and fulfilled. He made us. And because He loves us, He only wants us to be happy and fulfilled. And so when He asks us to do something, when He calls us to do something, even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if we wonder, well, I don't see how that's going to make me truly happy and fulfilled. And again, who could blame us? In today's society that constantly tells us this is what you need to be happy and fulfilled, well, go wonder, you know, that we don't understand sometimes. You know, why? How could that make me happy and fulfilled? I think God is calling me to do this. And not just in the big life-changing decisions, you know, there too, certainly, but even in the day-to-day stuff. We have to remind ourselves that our own good is in doing God's will. God has our best interests in mind. And so even when we don't understand how what He is asking us to do is going to make us happy and fulfilled, maybe we can walk through this again logically sometime when we need to remind ourselves of that. And, you know, I preach to myself just as much as I preach to you. Just to tell you a little story, when I was a junior in high school, I had my whole life figured out, you know, as much as a junior in high school does. And I was pretty sure, you know. I was going to go to the Air Force Academy. I was already in, ready to go. I assumed that somewhere along the way I would get married and probably have kids. And, you know, I probably would do that. I just kind of assumed, you know. But, you know, my thing was I was going to go to the Air Force Academy. I was going to go into the Air Force, have some great career in the Air Force, maybe become a general one day. And, you know, then that would be it. And I would be happy and fulfilled. And that was my plan for me. And now, let me say something before I move on. That's not a bad plan. It's not that that's something, that's not an evil lifestyle. We need good people in the military. We need good married couples. In fact, I would dare to say that we need good married couples perhaps even more than we need good priests. So So that's not a bad plan. It's not that I had a bad plan. It's that I never really ran my plans by God. And I went on a retreat junior year of high school, and that whole plan was turned upside down. I kind of finally began to listen to what God was calling me to do. And as I discerned over several months that that was not what the Lord was calling me to do, that He was calling me to go into the seminary and to go right away, right out of high school, I have to say, I kind of wondered, how is that going to make me happy and fulfilled? I mean, I thought priests were kind of cool, but I mean, you know, celibacy, and guess what's even worse, obedience. I mean, you think celibacy is rough, try obedience. But I can tell you, just from experience, and I don't put myself up as the model here because I'm far from a perfect model, but I can tell you, just in my own life, for what that is worth, that I have never been happier. My 8 years of seminary were a ball. I loved every moment of it. And my 6 weeks now as a priest have been amazing. Really, they have. And I can tell you, for what it's worth, from my own experience thus far, I really have never been happier. And I can tell you, I didn't see how that would be. And again, not to set myself up as a model, but what I had to do was what we just did. I kind of had to remind myself, well, wait a minute, John, you know, the Lord knows what's going to make you truly happy and fulfilled. After all, He made you. And because He loves you, He's only going to call you to do that which He knows is going to make you truly happy and fulfilled, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And so sometimes we do have to remind ourselves of that. We have to kind of mentally, logically walk through it because, of course, we're not always going to feel it, you know. And we're still going to have bad days, even as a priest, even, you know. It's not that every day is you know, sunshiny and happy, but there is a deep abiding peace. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations and chaos and the pastor being away for 2 weeks and me being in charge, even in the midst of all of that, there is a deep abiding peace because I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And this is the first and foremost of what we need to be storing up in heaven, is the fruit of doing God's will. And when we are blessed, to pass on those blessings to others, to not harbor them for ourselves. The last thing I want to say is, you know, some of you who have who've heard me preach at a few funerals, and we've had a few recently, have heard me say this, and I always like to say this at funerals, but, you know, one of two things is going to happen to each and every one of us. Either we're going to die. Each and every one of us one day is going to die. We're going to suffer physical death. Or, before that happens, the apocalypse could happen. Right? The Lord could just call this whole thing off. Right? And we don't know when that's going to happen. And we kind of want to laugh and say, oh, well, you know, we think of the end of the world as something, you know, thousands of years away. But my brothers and sisters, our Lord tells us in Scripture that He Himself does not even know, that only God the Father knows at what time and what hour. And it's entirely possible that, you know, the Lord could come again in glory before we even have this one last chance to receive communion. But even should that not happen, what reason do we have to think that we're going to live to a ripe old age and have that picturesque kind of death? You know, I'd like to think that I'll die some day as maybe a crusty old Monsignor, 90 years old, laying on my deathbed, surrounded by, you know, great nieces and nephews and friends and family and loved ones, and get to receive the last rites. And I'd like to think that I'll have that kind of death. I mean, after all, we live in America, right? The greatest country on earth, and it is. And the safest country on earth, and it is. And we have good, you know, I enjoy good health right now. And we have good hospitals. But that's no reason for me to think that I'm going to live and have that kind of picturesque death. What says that I don't walk outside church today and get hit by a bus? What says, you know, nuclear warfare doesn't break out? Now, the Lord, let me say this. The Lord does not want us to be anxious or scared or wondering if death is lurking around the corner. The Lord doesn't want that, but He wants us to live soberly. He wants us to realize that it could happen at any moment, at any time, and simply to be ready. Again, either physical death or the apocalypse. But one of the two is going to happen to each and every one of us, and we need to be ready. Again, not scared, not anxious. What do we pray at the end of the Our Father? After we say the Our Father, the priest says, deliver us, Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. Keep us free from all anxiety. The Lord doesn't want us to be anxious. He wants us to be at peace. At peace. But true peace is only going to come in doing God's will and in being ready. And as the Lord reminds us in this parable in the Gospel today, this guy, he thought he had his whole life figured out. He'd stored up all these great riches. And then what happens? The Lord says, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. He probably, you know, he was probably in good health. He probably thought he was, you know, in a safe place. And we don't know how he died, but, you know, he obviously wasn't ready. He was storing up treasure here on earth and not in heaven where it counts. He was not doing God's will. Let's, this week, pray for the grace and the strength to not only know God's will through prayer, through discernment, but then to have the trust that we'll listen to him, to have trust that he knows what he's talking about, and to follow him generously. Let's pray for that grace this week, that we may not live anxiously, that we may be at peace, but simply day to day doing God's will, not thinking that we might have some later time to forgive others, to forgive ourselves, to drop grudges, whatever else. If we have any of those things to do, we need to do it today, brothers and sisters, because we do not know when we're going. And that's the first part of doing God's will. It's just being ready to go, being at peace, doing what he wants us to do, not just in the grand scheme of things, but in the day-to-day events of life. So let's pray for that today, that we may know his will, and that we may then have the trust to follow it generously.